You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. If you've ever had a stretch of your life where you feel empty, unmotivated, mentally weary, just kind of meh about life right now, you're not alone. Our next guest says it's a common state of mind called languishing, and he says there is a way to get from there back to flourishing. In his new book, he makes the case that we can boost our mental health and get out of languishing in part by rebuilding our connections with other people. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you now or at some point in your recent memory? Like you were going through the motions, unmotivated, tired, something's missing. If you've been there before, what did you do to get out of there, to shake that feeling? Join in with your thoughts or questions about languishing at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Corey Keyes is a sociologist and professor emeritus at Emory University. He hails from northern Wisconsin and is a graduate of UW-Eau Claire and UW-Madison. His newest book is called Languishing, How to Feel Alive Again in a World That Wears Us Down. Corey, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
I gave a very brief description there of languishing. Corey, can you flesh that out a little more? What are we talking about when we talk about languishing?
Well, I developed a questionnaire. Typical scientist, yes, that has 14 questions. And you have to have 7 out of those 14 as a minimum that are in terms you're missing at least some feeling good, what we call happiness or satisfaction, but at least 6 out of the 11 signs of functioning well, things like social contribution, sense of integration, warm, trusting relationships, and personal growth, just to give you a sense of what might be missing. Mm-hmm. So languishing is having a deficiency in the things that make life meaningful and interesting.
And people might hear some of this and think, oh, languishing is like depression. And there might be a bit of overlap, but you very carefully distinguish between the two in your book, Corey.
Yes. Depression and languishing are very distinctive in the sense that languishing is the absence of these questions that have to do with the presence of well-being. Well, of course, depression is that you have the presence of some very negative symptoms and signs of malfunctioning. And yet, when you're depressed, the chances are that to some degree you are languishing. And that level of languishing, whether it's mild, moderate, or severe, will also affect how well or how poorly you are functioning with your depression or anxiety. So languishing comes along with mental illnesses like anxiety and depression often, but its level will determine how poorly you function with your mental disorder.
And that leads to an important point in your book. A lot of times we treat mental health, I think professionally, just in how we talk about it, as, you know, you're mentally healthy if you don't have mental illness right now. You say no, mental health can be a positive description of a state of being. Make that distinction for us, please.
Sure. For a long time, and for good reason, we focused on mental illnesses, and they're very serious. And I'm not debating whether that's the case. Mm-hmm. I take them very serious myself. I suffer from depression and PTSD. But just because I have these moments when I'm free of symptoms and you know, I might not be clinically depressed, my level of good mental health will determine how well I'm functioning and how long I stay in recovery. But even if you're free of a mental illness, it doesn't mean you're anywhere close to what I call flourishing. You could be stuck somewhere in between, which I call languishing. And think of languishing as being mentally unhealthy. And I found in lots of research that being mentally unhealthy too long, staying languishing too long, actually puts you at risk for sliding into mental illnesses like depression.
Now, last time we talked, Corey, it was in one of the most serious stretches of COVID. Now, languishing was around a long time before COVID was, but did the pandemic cause a lot more of languishing?
Yes, I just read very new paper that showed that definitely in between 2019 and 2021, there was an increase in languishing. But I found it interesting. This was a study of clergy, Methodist clergy in North Carolina. And what they found was that if the clergy were mentally healthy, that is flourishing before the pandemic hit, they were protected from becoming depressed or anxious. But if they were languishing to some degree before the pandemic, they were much more likely during the pandemic to become depressed or anxious. So the rise in mental illnesses that we were seeing may be attributable to the degree to which people were languishing before the pandemic.
Corey Keyes is with us. We're talking about his new book. It's called Languishing, How to Feel Alive Again in a World That Wears Us Down. Talk about what languishing is, what it does to us, and in a bit, we'll talk about how to break out of it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Corey, in your book, you look at a lot of individual strategies to deal with languishing. But before we get there, I want to get to this part in your subtitle there, A World That Wears Us Down. Have we developed, created a society in some ways that steers us toward languishing and away from the positive behaviors that can get us out of it?
I think yes is the and for the reason that both young people in college as well as adults talk a lot about time deficiency or being time exhausted, that there's never enough time to get everything done. And this is this condition of always running behind can really lead to a sense of emptiness because you barely have time to get the work done. And what's left over is probably a sense that I want to disconnect and have some downtime rather than prioritize the things that go into what I'm calling the five vitamins for flourishing. So I think people are really running ragged and running on empty, much like I opened my book when I heard that song as a young teenager. I too felt that there simply wasn't enough time in the day to get everything done. And when the day was finished and I had a period to stop and rest, a sense of emptiness set in, much like a fog.
You mentioned those five vitamins. I want to key in on one of them, connect, the idea of connecting with other people in meaningful ways. And you mentioned our feeling of being stretched thin on time. I think for me, and I'm guessing for a lot of people, that's one of the things that can sometimes fall by the wayside. There's time for work and maybe for family and some downtime. And those connections with friends and others is something we often sacrifice. How important is that?
Very important. In fact, I was reading a very recent Deloitte consulting firm survey of workers, and almost 50% of the workers they surveyed said they don't have enough time for family and friends. And that stood out to me because often, not for everyone, but often those are one of the most rewarding relationships that we leave behind in the pursuit of doing more and more at work and trying to succeed there. And so we tend not to prioritize those close, warm, trusting relationships. And when that happens, I think this sense of disconnection from them, as well as a disconnection from our own sense of self, begins to creep in.
Give us a little prescription here. How good a medicine is rebuilding those connections if we're in that state of languishing?
Well, when I talk about connection, I'm not just talking about quantity. And more and more people are making that point. It's about quality in the following sense. Three ingredients that lead to flourishing have to do with relationships. The first, of course, is that you really develop and have warm, trusting relationships with others. The second is that you have a sense of mattering or contributing things of worth to your community and other people. In other words, you're needed by other people and asked to help. And the third is that you have this sense of belonging to a community. A lot of us are situated in institutions and neighborhoods and departments, but you may not feel you belong or are accepted there. So we need to work on belonging. We need to work on our sense of mattering to the world and other people, along with warm, trusting relationships.
We're talking to Corey Keyes about his new book, Languishing, How to Feel Alive Again in a World That Wears Us Down. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Now, maybe this concept, this label of languishing is new to you. The feelings that Corey described, does it sound familiar to you now or at some point in your life? What do you see leading to that sense of languishing? Did you have things that you found that got you out of it? Do you embrace things like making time for those important relationships, friendships, and things like that? Do you take time to learn new things, to play? Those are a couple of the other things that help break out of languishing. Join in with your thoughts, your experiences, your questions for our guest at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Corey Keyes, author of the new book, Languishing, How to Feel Alive Again in a World That Wears Us Down. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Just heard that clip from Running on Empty by Jackson Brown. Do you feel that sense that you are running on empty? Does your work time or other obligations get in the way of things like connecting with friends, having hobbies, having fun in your life? Do you feel like you are languishing? Have you felt that way in the past? You're getting out of it now. Does it sound easier said than done to rebuild those relationships given the way the world works now? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Corey, you had referenced that Jackson Brown song as something that you, in your younger days, that was something that captured this feeling of languishing for you. Could you talk a little bit about that as part of your inspiration for, well, not just this book, but for your career?
Yes, it started me down this path. I was one Sunday evening, I turned on the radio and got the King Biscuit Flower Hour tuned in from Wausau, and there was Jackson Brown doing a concert. And this song comes on. I'm lying on my bed in Three Lakes, Wisconsin, staring at the ceiling, feeling that kind of restless, empty feeling. And Running on Empty comes on. And for the first time, I feel like somebody out there knows what I'm feeling. I'm not alone. And I must say, it was a haunting feeling to be there in Three Lakes, Wisconsin, a small town, beautiful area. But yet there I was. I felt empty, alone, and like something was really missing. And there was a void. And then I heard that song and I thought, maybe others are out there thinking and feeling the same way. And it took a while to get through college and then get my PhD, but I was committed to understanding whether this sense of emptiness was affecting other people along with me.
And you've learned, of course, that it is. You share a story through the course of your book about a prison guard in Australia named Scott at a low point in his life, just off a divorce. Definitely feeling like he was running on empty, disconnected to the world. Along comes a mandatory mental wellness session that he very much doesn't want to go. Pick up the story there, Corey.
Yes. He was jaded, to put it mildly. And he thought, here is another waste of my time and the waste of our prisoners' time. To think that there was a waste of prisoners' time was ironic, to say the least. And he didn't want to show up for the program. But he had a friend, and I talk about her, and she was really important to his transformation, because that connection that he had, which was a warm, trusting relationship he had with a colleague, she said, come on, Scott, what do we have to lose? Come with me. We'll do this together. And I think that's important when we talk about the vitamins. Don't think you have to do these things alone. Like Scott, it took somebody else to say, I'll come along with you and we will do this together. And Scott was catapulted over time. He started to realize what he was learning for his job was very relevant to his own situation, how he could dig himself out of this hole that he came to understand was languishing. And suddenly by the end of the story, there he is wanting to bring this to the prisoners and help transform their lives. And that's where I would like to follow up with Scott to see how that's going. He was a prisoner guard in a women's prison in Australia. And the moral of the story is suddenly when he was flourishing, he couldn't keep it to himself. He wanted to give it away to the others and share it. And so Scott is an inspiration, if you ask me, to anybody, because he was going through a lot and he ended up flourishing and wanting to share it with others.
And between your story of working with your own sense of languishing by trying to help others and Scott's, one of the most potent ways to get out of languishing, it seems, is to find purpose in life by helping others. How important is that?
Very important. And before we even talk about purpose, I want to dial it back, because I think for people, when they hear purpose in life, they think it's pretty overwhelming and that there's one purpose for them out there waiting for them to find. It's like a needle in the haystack. Start small and start local and just focus on where and who you want to help. Helping other people or helping something in the world improve is a great way to begin your journey out of languishing. It even helps people. The research shows that if you're not languishing, but you're depressed as well, people who are depressed who engage in more helping behavior begin to have better days. And as they have better days, they begin to move up the measurement tool that towards flourishing. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a couple months, just like Scott. But you begin to have a taste of better days, and it pulls you forward. So helping is really important. And you can take that to the level of saying, this is my purpose in life. I'm going to dedicate a part of my life to a cause. And I want to leave that part of the world a better place because I was here. You can get there, but start just with helping someone, something in the world.
Corey Keyes is with us, sociologist, author of the new book, Languishing, How to Feel Alive Again in a World That Wears Us Down. Corey, a lot of people might try to get out of languishing by setting their goal as happiness and trying to be happy. You say that might not be the best lighthouse to seek. Why is that?
Yes. Oh boy. Don't get me in trouble here, because happiness report just came out and we always want to talk about happiness, but I'm here to tell you, I think sometimes you can put happiness as the horse before the cart, or the cart before the horse, however it goes. in the following way, I surveyed my college students, and all the qualities of flourishing, they put happiness as number one, the most important thing that would be part of their life moving forward. They put psychological and social well-being, things like belonging, sense of self-acceptance, as dead last. And I'm here to tell you, there's over 20% of college students who would be flourishing in terms of happiness, but they're not functioning well. And they have over 3 to 4 times the rate of mental illness than the college students who are flourishing, meaning they put together a life where they're feeling good about it because they're functioning well. So feeling happy isn't enough if it's not tethered or a result of feeling the things that go into functioning well, like purpose, belonging, and contribution, and growth, and a sense of mastery.
What is it about happiness? You actually have an exercise in the book where you assign your students to go out and try to be happy for an X period of time. Why do they always fail?
Because they fall for the I don't know what you would call it. It's a perennial problem. It's not new to us. People have been doing this throughout for decades. And they forget that emotions were meant to be very time limited, short lived. I use the analogy, it's like that windsock out there on the landing field for planes. It blows in multiple directions wherever the wind is blowing. And so they go out there and try to keep their happiness alive for over an hour. And almost everyone, literally everyone, fails. And they come back to me complaining, like they said, you set us up. And I said, no, this is an important lesson. If you're only focused on happiness, you will never, ever be able to sustain it because it's never meant to last. It's supposed to be a result of something. That's why prioritizing functioning well, putting purpose in your life, putting a sense of contribution in your life, putting a sense that you're accepting of other people or yourself first, that it will create a feeling of happiness about something that's worth being happy.
In just our last minute or so, Corey, imagine someone out there listening who feels that languishing. They hear us talking about it and they say, yeah, I think that's me. Can you offer a few first steps to go from there to flourishing?
Well, in addition to helping others and socializing and connecting, there are three other vitamins for flourishing. I think you mentioned this third one, which was just learn something new and get engaged in learning something new simply for your own sake, not for work or advancing at work, just because you enjoy and you want to see yourself grow. You could also add the vitamin of spirituality or religion, which is engage in activities and rituals, but don't do just the physical stuff. Also study the philosophy, which tends to emphasize more ethical principles in life and better ways to live. And last but not least, I think you also mentioned it, play. Play more and engage in what is called active leisure. Too many of us are doing leisure passively, which is we sit on our couch and our chairs and we consume it. We don't do it. So active leisure and play. Start with just one of the vitamins and start small, but do it more regularly. And you just might begin to experience better days that move you closer and closer to on the path to flourishing.
Thanks to our guest, Corey Keyes, is a sociologist and professor emeritus at Emory University. His new book is called Languishing, How to Feel Alive Again in a World That Wears Us Down. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.